This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This hour is brought to you by Yuengling Traditional Lager, oldest brewery in America.
Russell Dorsey, national MLB insider for Yahoo Sports.
It's the cost of doing business. You want a superstar type of talent, a five-tool player in Kyle Tucker? It's not free, right? You just don't get a Kyle Tucker. Yes, it's for a year. I can understand that, but you got to give something to get something.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+.
If stacking the deck is the term you're using to describe one team, what turn of phrase would you use to describe the Chicago White Sox right now?
Finding the deck.
Insider and analyst on MLB Network.
What's up, Russ?
Russell Dorsey on 670 The Score. The
He would typically be on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, but Russ brings the hotline to you. Download the Circa app today. Not only does Russ Dorsey bring the hotline to you.
What else does he bring?
And I'm not talking about Hotline Bling.
I knew you were going to say that.
One of the better Drake songs, in my opinion. I say that post Kendrick Lamar beef.
I feel like Drake is still trying to come back from the ashes.
There's not a doubt about that. But you know what? I also think he did Meek Mill wrong back in the day. So, you know, sometimes you're the recipient.
You're so Philly, Layla.
Sometimes. But that was a great album. And Meek had every reason to ask questions about it.
Back to back with Joe Carter. I know you can appreciate that.
I did.
Yeah.
It really had more to do with disrespecting what I thought was a good album. And it's not even about Meek at that point. It's just a good album. But point being, you know, sometimes you're the recipient and sometimes you're the one who gives and sometimes you still have a good song. So Russ has brought the hotline to us. He joins us here in studio. Russ, the man of many talents, of many jobs. He's a writer for Yahoo Sports, the National Major League Baseball insider. He's also an insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+. He is also my thermometer because Russ has the sleeves not on his body today. It is a sleeveless
Sleeve
shirt.
Monster got me.
Sun's out, guns out. It must be over 70 degrees. Because Russ is here, and so are his arms.
What is that, Marshall? You want to know where the Whole Foods is? I think it's that way.
Wow. Those of you on Twitch, I apologize in advance for any of the showings right now of a Russ Dorsey.
What?
Look, you know what? You earned it, though. You worked out all winter, and now hibernation is over, and you're like, you want to show off what you got, right?
Listen, man, it's just warm. It's just warm out in the beautiful city of Chicago, and sometimes you want to feel the warmth on your skin.
Are you kidding? Yes, that's it, just like the hills. And you know what else? I bet you anything that there are a bunch of people out there right now wearing whatever short version they want, whether it's jorts, cargo shorts.
Who's out on the lakefront
cargo
today?
Cargo jorts.
People are outside, Marshall.
People are outside?
They're outside.
What are they wearing?
Clothes.
Okay, just making sure. Like, what type of clothes are they wearing?
But well, no. It's like your Lululemon, your Aloe, your whatever fitness-y stuff you want to wear. But it's like short sleeves and cutoffs and tank tops and the whole shebang.
The athleisure. Midriffs are out.
Yes. Athleisure. Yeah,
the midriffs are out.
Yes.
It's okay. Also active dress weather today. You know, like the dress that is put together, but it's also athletic material.
Ah, yeah, that breathes.
Yes.
The breathable
material. And it's got shorts underneath. Those are a major part of my wardrobe in the summer when I'm not at work.
Yeah, the one with the lining.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he didn't come in here with the, you can know about this, the Zeke look. I could see him with the Zeke look.
Right? Oh, with the midriff though?
Yeah.
Can I just confess something to you guys? If you are a football player with draft tape and you were confident enough to play with a midriff on national TV, you get a point higher in my draft scale. Because I was like, midriff. Guy's unafraid. Let's go.
So I know DK Metcalf is a big fan of it's like a little hoodie with the midriff showing. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm that confident yet. But we'll see.
Keep doing that chord, big guy.
Listen, We'll both wear one.
No, I'm not there. I'm not there. My metabolism doesn't work the same as yours. I'm a little older, so.
Not by much, Marshall.
Okay.
I don't know, based on your analogy the other day.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Let's talk about the baseball.
And wait, before we start, congrats, guys, on your officially being a show. Even though I expected it, because you guys are both great. But, like, now that it's a thing, how you feel?
I mean, you know, the funny part is I really kind of centered my comments about it around the Score listener because I hosted full time, you know, previously with Dan. So for me, like, I've been here for a while in some way, shape, or form. But I understand that it is a new announcement and it's a new thing. And we have new segments. Yeah. And we have a new disclaimer
at the top of the show.
And thank you for the congrats. We're happy to have you be a part of our show.
We didn't play the disclaimer yet, did we?
So here we were after the show on Friday during the rainstorm, hanging out, shooting the breeze, being creative. And Marshall wanted a disclaimer. So then we started having fun with the discussion behind it. And lo and behold, we realized who we really needed to apologize to.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
I just want to point out, that's not an apology. It is simply a disclaimer, because apparently, you know, people didn't understand that I was just joking around.
You might not call it that. I'll take it as one, though.
It should be an apology. Let's just be honest.
You take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
There we go. See?
I mean, if he didn't know you like he does, there might have been a really tense moment. Hands.
But he does know me like he does. I wouldn't have said it to someone I didn't know. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. Y'all got me out here sounding like the villain out here.
You are.
Am I the villain in your story?
Yes. You're not the hero.
I like to think of myself as an anti-hero.
Okay. I'd give you that.
Okay. Like, so that maybe that's more apt. The anti-hero for the Cubs right now is the third baseman, whoever that may be.
Yeah.
Can they fix this without, because the whole waiting on Matt Shaw to turn things around is not looking promising at this particular juncture.
John Birdie, until you have a better option.
Okay.
Would probably be what I would go with. I think you have a guy that played the position before, solid defensively, can give you a little bit of speed at the bottom of the order. But yeah, there is no insert player here right now outside of Matt Shaw getting things going down in AAA. And the trade market is just it's non-existent right now.
It's going to be a while.
Like, even if they do something as far as a trade for a third baseman, whoever that might be, and I don't know who that is at this moment, you're going to have to kind of piecemeal it together for the next couple of months.
I think that is probably the bigger discussion here. Is this, even though it seemed like a short-term move at the time, where you want a guy to get right, he had a taste of the big leagues, there were some promising, I think, flashes there, but the Cubs, knowing what was ahead of them, needed to make a decision quicker than they probably typically have in the past few years. And we're all thinking to ourselves, knowing this guy's pedigree and how much he was bragged about and how much he was talked about and how much the Cubs organization loved him, didn't think this would be an indefinite type of thing, him being in the minor leagues.
I have no problem with them coming out of spring training and saying, we're going to let Matt Shaw be our third baseman and let him earn it every day, right? And because they're in the situation that they're in, where they need to win games, they're trying to go to the postseason, you look like one of the three or four teams that you could say, yeah, this is a playoff team. You don't have the time or the runway to say, hey, man, figure it out at the big league level. Now, it doesn't help that they haven't really been able to stabilize that position even after they sent him down. And you still talk to people over there. They're still hoping that he's the guy for the job. But even if he's not, they're going to have to figure that out, because this revolving door of third baseman, whether it's Vidal Brujan or John Birdie or insert player X.
Nicky Lopez.
It was Gage Workman to start. And then that plan didn't really work out.
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's become the club of not Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
I mean, to say it bluntly.
It was one of the reasons that that was such a good fit, because they needed a third baseman. He was the best third baseman available. And now you just have to hope that there is a team out there at the deadline, if Matt Shaw's not back up here, that has a viable infielder that you can potentially get.
I think it's a stretch because of how old he is. But 309 makes a good point. Would the Cubs and Cards work a deal for Nolan Arenado?
I have a hard time believing that the Cubs would want to take on that type of money for an older Nolan Arenado. You know what I mean? Like, if this was 5 years ago, sure, I'll call the Rockies about Nolan Arenado. But right now, the in-division trade is always weird and funky. Yeah, I just don't think that's the route I would go if I'm the Cubs, right? Like, a guy that I would look at if I'm the Chicago Cubs, and you hope that this team comes back to earth and isn't a playoff team, Dylan Moore from the Seattle Mariners is a guy who, great defensively, offensively, has been one of the better utility men in baseball, and he could hold down the position. That's if the Mariners are out of it at the deadline. But that's a guy that I look at and say, you know, he does a lot of things well, has power. The splits outside of Seattle last year were really, really good. And defensively, he's one of the more elite utility players.
Is it wrong that I'm just frustrated that I'm having this conversation for the third flipping year in a row?
No.
What is with the crater at that position on the field for them? It's like Ryan Poles in the third round. All craters.
I get it. And it's one of those things where they've built this roster, and you look around and you say, all right, you got a dude here, you got a dude there, you got the dude in right field. Like, you're doing okay if you're the Cubs, yet, you know, Gage Workman, Vidal Bruján, John Birdie, Nicky Lopez, Justin Turner, like, if this felt like the position where it's like, we'll be okay, and they haven't been okay. But in terms of standings, like, they played good baseball.
You know who could help, but he's just not in the system anymore.
Who's that?
Cam Smith.
Oh, I'm not doing this with you, Layla.
And you know why? Because of Kyle Tucker. Because,
yeah, Kyle Tucker, and he's a stud.
For a year.
Let's go from 5 to 6.
Okay.
Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
What should the level of concern be about his offensive production, given that he is so good defensively?
Yeah, he's one of the best, if not the best, defensive shortstop in baseball. I think offensively, the Cubs would tell you, Dansby would tell you, that they expect more from their $177 million shortstop. And I think if you look at the history of who Dansby's been as a player, he's never been like the 900, 950 OPS guy, but there was power there, you know, driving the baseball, driving in runs. And he just kind of looks in between right now. You know, I think back to the weekend and fastball right down the middle, and it's just like he looks at it, and that's a ball that when Dansby is right, like, he's jumping on that and driving that out of the yard. He just doesn't – it's always the confidence thing with players, and Dansby's a confident player. Offensively, he just doesn't look confident right now. I think the saving grace for him and the Cubs is there are a lot of guys that carry that out to the field with him. He does not.
Right.
Like, you're not seeing a guy carry an 0 for 3 with three punchies to the field. Like, he still looks as sharp at short as anybody in baseball. But, yeah, there has to be some level of concern, because that's a guy – that's an important part of not only your lineup but your team as a whole.
To that end, I think the Phillies actually did a really good job of either having the data that they amassed from the season so far against the Cubs when it came to how they pitched everybody, or just having the right pitching matchups for them. Because, for example, Kyle Tucker, you know, they were able to quiet his bat a bit over the series. And I saw that the strategy seemed to be, especially for Aaron Nola, just high and away. If Middleton is your pitch, we're going to go high and away on you. And when it came to Dansby Swanson, similar. You know, they knew the right pitches to throw against his team to counter that selection issue that had been really their bread and butter for the Cubs before.
Yeah, I think when you look at what the Cubs have been able to do this month and now kind of projecting forward, if I'm a team, I'm saying, all right, Kyle Tucker will not beat me. If you want to take a walk, Kyle Tucker, please be my guest. But I'm making Seiya Suzuki, Michael Bush, PCA, Dansby Swanson, Ian Happ, those guys have to beat me. And if they do, you tip your cap. But
Yeah, I think to your point, teams are going to look at this roster and say, okay, you had a good month. Can you do it again? Right? How consistent can you actually be, Michael Bush? Can you be a 950 OPS guy for the rest of the season? And if he can, the Cubs have a really good player at first base.
Before last weekend, the Cubs were leading Major League Baseball in run differential.
Yeah.
Now they're third, and they don't even lead their own division in run differential. Now, it's a hot and cold offense, so to speak, but how worried should Cubs fans be about the Cincinnati Reds?
I was having a conversation with somebody about that today, and I look at I've always liked the Reds because I like young, athletic teams. When you have Ellie De La Cruz, when you have Matt McClain, and then you get the development that we've seen from Hunter Green. We've been begging Hunter Green to like be the guy in that rotation. And you're seeing a guy that is going to be, if he continues like this, a top five finisher in Cy Young Award voting. If Nick Lodolo can stay healthy, you don't bring Terry Francona back out of retirement to be your manager if you're not expecting to be a playoff team, right? This is a team that has gone for it and they want to beat the Cubs. Do I think they're a better team on paper than the Chicago Cubs? I do not. At the same time, I look at a team that has nothing to lose, right? Like, they're clearly not scared of the Cubs. They can score enough runs. They're getting really good starting pitching. So I think it's going to come down to what the Cubs do in their bullpen, right? Like, that could be something you look back on and say, man, we dropped X amount of games because we couldn't hold leads in the eighth inning, in the ninth inning. And if the Reds our team that goes out and says, hey, maybe we shore up some of our needs. And now you want to continue to stay ahead because being the chaser is not a fun position to be in.
I just think.
And it's been what they've been in.
Yeah. I think with Terry Francona specifically, that gives me pause because I've seen it multiple times on multiple teams. And I know what he's capable of in terms of bringing out the best in a group, especially a young group.
I think he's 13th all time in wins. He's top 10 in postseason victories, multiple time World Series champion. Like, having him in the room helps you so much just in terms of, oh man, this dude's been there. What do we got to worry about? You've seen all the things.
We talk about war all the time.
He knows how to manage for rain 2 days out. When you're talking about bullpen and how to run his team. Like, that's how good he is.
It's like the people out there who are parents and you have kids. It's like, you've seen all the things. You know how to, you feel like you know how to guide a young person along.
Especially if you had multiple kids.
Right. Like, my parents.
Different personalities.
I was number two. They had it all figured out by the time they experimented with my brother. But me, I'm just like, okay, I got this.
To survive you, your parents are very good people.
They're awesome.
They are. Oh, shout out to your dad.
I just heard the slight on the back.
not slight. I just said to survive you.
I was a good kid, Marshall.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. You're a great adult, too.
I am.
Yeah.
I'd like to think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Layla.
No, I'm here for the slight. Let me listen.
There was no slight. I just said they survived raising a talented man. You got to find a talented guy like Russell Dorsey things to do to keep him occupied and keep him growing. And look what he's grown into. Look what he's grown into.
We're going to have another disclaimer, aren't we?
I was an honor roll student, Marshall.
I'm sure you were.
Dean's list in college.
Were. Couldn't quite make president's list, though, could you?
I didn't. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what that is.
Exactly.
No. We're here now. What's the president's list?
4.0.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who had a 4.0 his senior year?
Then you were on the president's list.
I didn't know that that was a thing till just now.
Maybe they didn't have
it. I thought anything over like 3.5 was the dean's list, and then there was nothing else.
There was.
We're proud of you, Russ.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Also, Ricky Dorsey, thank you for the kind message to all of us
on
social media yesterday.
Hi, Russ's dad.
I love it when we know people's parents. It's so wholesome. More with Russ Dorsey coming up here on Raheem and Harris on The Score, because I want to ask him about the Cubs now getting through what we called Hell Week. It was really Hell Month. So let's take an assessment, and I want to talk to you about the pitching part of this, too. That's next. Hang with us on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think the fact that we came out of the gate hot, played really good teams really well is great. I also think we probably have a bit of a target on our back. We're the Chicago Cubs, and teams like it when we come to town. They want to beat us, and I think, you know, there's no time to, like, step off the gas.
That was the starter on Sunday, Jameson Taillon. 7 innings strong for him. 5 hits, 1 earned run. That was it. But unfortunately, Cubs end up losing that third game of the series to the Phillies 3-1. They were off yesterday, and they are back in action tonight on the score against the Pittsburgh Pirates, starting a 3-game set. We are joined by the Yahoo Sports Major League Baseball insider, Russ Dorsey, kind enough to hang with us in the studio here on Raheemy and Harris.
Hello, friends.
And I think that's, I want to pick up actually with pitching from where we left off. We called the last 2 weeks in a day or so Cubs Hell Week. It was 14 games, and we know the teams that were involved. It was the Phillies, number one, who, you know, gave the Dodgers everything they could handle at one point earlier. Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Dodgers again, and then they closed it out with the Phillies. So that's a good example of, I think, the mindset that I have right now is I'm thinking to myself, especially with, unfortunately, Ben Brown knowingly struggling the way he has so far starting this season, is I'm thinking, that was a great outing from one of your starters that is actually doing some work right now, and Jameson Taillon. You can't waste those if you want to make this sustainable for the rest of the year.
For sure. But that's also why you got J-Mo, right? That's why you bring in a guy like that that's been around the big leagues, that's pitched in a place like New York. You know, the pressure of that coming to Chicago, pitching for the Chicago Cubs, that shouldn't change, right? It's not going to go down. This is the fan base that really cares about winning baseball games. And especially after the last couple of years, you want to continue to build off of what was, it was going to be 10 years ago at this point, you know, a World Series championship team. And so, yeah, the pitching is going to be a very important part for the Cubs going forward. I think we've figured out that in the first month, the Cubs' strength is their offense, right? When you lead baseball in, as of last week, average hits, runs scored, you're like second in homers,
extra base hits, stolen bases.
Yeah. You know, you're doing a lot of things right offensively. But now you have to figure out, especially as we've talked about before, after the injury to Justin Steele, you're going to have some regression from some guys in your rotation. Where are you going to be able to find some innings? Everybody loves to make trades in April in their mind. But the reality is that doesn't happen. So you're going to have to figure out, where is your depth coming from, and can you get quality depth? Because it's not just, let's throw a guy out there for 5 innings and see what we get. You want guys that are going to be able to be competitive, keep you in ball games, so that that offense can continue to help you win ball games.
I think I look at the Ben Brown piece of this as kind of the hinge, right? Because if he can stay up and do his thing, they'll be okay. But if he can't, those questions become immediate in terms of dipping down to see who else can replace. And as you said, we're not in trade season yet. So they've got to figure out who to go back to when they go to the well from the minor leagues. Do you see guys that you see as ready to come up right now and be inserted in the starting rotation if Ben Brown can't get it figured out with his two-pitch mix?
Well, I was just wondering, at some point you're going to have to see it from Jordan Wicks, right? That's a guy that was a former first-round pick for you, you know, in 2021. And it just, that whether it's from injury or just not being able to get a foothold in the big leagues, it hasn't happened. The answer that myself, and I know a lot of Cubs fans that I talk to, think about is Cade Horton, right? Another guy, high draft pick, and he's kind of tearing it up down in Iowa. The thing that I always want to be mindful of when it comes to young pitchers is you do want to let guys develop. At the same time, knowing what we know about pitchers and pitcher injuries, it's like the idea of wasting bullets.
Yes.
Right? That's the other thing you think about. It's like, how many do I really want them mowing guys down in Iowa, or do I want them mowing down guys in the big leagues in Chicago to help this team get to the postseason? And I think that's one of the things as a team, as a front office, that front offices around baseball think about, is you are kind of having those conversations of, well, if this guy can help us get outs in the big leagues, maybe we should have him on the big league roster. Last year, the Detroit Tigers brought up their best pitching prospect, Jackson Jobe, to do the exact same thing. And so teams have different situations. The Cubs would need a Cade Horton to be in their rotation, likely, not come out of the bullpen. So that's another conversation that you have. But yeah, I would imagine at some point this year, who knows when, we probably see Cade Horton.
Well, and I'm also trying to figure out what happens with Miguel Amaya in all of this. The latest update was we saw him in the dugout for the homestand. That's not a good sign. We know he had discomfort in his side, was the last piece of information that we had from what he was trying to do at the AAA level. So I do think that he's viable in all of this, if he's healthy, and how do they fit him in?
Javier Saad,
Javier Assai. Sorry, like, Miguel Amaya.
Did I miss something?
Javier Assai. Yes.
You followed it.
I was just like, I think I know where she's getting at. Yes.
I'm sorry. M instead of J, but both A's. And yeah, and you know what happened to me.
You're correct.
I play Ngrams in my brain, and I kept thinking about just the availability there. Actually, shout out to Miguel Amaya. He's been great with the starting pitch.
He has been.
He scared me for a minute because I was like, damn, missing.
No,
yeah, I was like, oh, shoot. That's not good.
The A last name got me. Javier Assad.
Javier Assad is definitely, like, that was a guy that hadn't been able to get things going during spring training because of that oblique. And then in his rehab outing in Iowa, obviously tweaks it again. So that's not great because that was a guy that said, okay, even with the steel injury, we got Javier Assad coming back. We should be able to kind of patch this hole with a guy that over a long stretch was a really solid starting pitcher for them. Now you don't know where he's going to be. And so you go back into question mode. And I think it's one thing to think about and look around the big leagues. If you're a Cubs fan and you're trying to look at, oh, man, we got these guys that are banged up. There's a lot of injuries around the big leagues, always in April. But if you look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, came into the season with a lot of talent, a lot of ceiling,
already,
but a lot of guys with questions, especially in that rotation. Like, if there was a weakness that they had, it was that rotation. And already, Blake Snell has been on the IL with a shoulder issue that he had to get an injection for. They just put Tyler Glasnow on the IL.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw not back yet. So, and Roky Sasaki only pitches once a week on every Saturday. You're going to see Roky out there. And so now they're looking at Dustin May and Yoshinobu Yamamoto as being the only kind of mainstays they have right now. So it's happening all around baseball.
But the Dodgers can cook with a bullpen day, and it doesn't matter. That's how they got through the playoffs.
Well, they're missing
their
closer right now. Blake Treinen's out too. So,
but they don't care. They're just like, yeah, we'll throw some more people at it.
Bullpen days in April is tough, man. If you're going bullpen day, and we haven't even gotten to May 1st.
I think that's setting yourself up for like that bullpen. If you're doing bullpen days consistently over the first couple of months, you know how it goes with the back 2 months is based on how fresh is your bullpen. It's hard to keep a bullpen fresh if you're using them like that.
But they have such ridiculous depth. They are the team that can shuffle people between their AAA and Major League.
The
affiliate.
Problem is, you look, they've run out of depth already. We're not even, because like you look, they don't have Gavin Stone. They don't have Tony Gonsolin. Dustin May's been in the rotation already. And then nobody knows when Shohei Ohtani is going to be back on the mound. And can you expect him to start? And they keep saying, hey, we want him for October. So you have to imagine he's probably not even pitching in the big league till, you know, July, August, September.
But do they want him to start or do they want him to be a bullpen piece?
No.
Ohtani. No, you want him to start.
I'm saying this season. I mean,
start.
So when is, how does that work?
Because he's going to pitch in, if
he's
you're going to say he's going to start
not
in the postseason.
Pitch count, yeah.
But the one thing, you can't send him on a rehab assignment.
That's what I'm saying.
So
how
you're going to have,
work?
You're going to have to, there are going to be a lot of sim games. There are going to be a lot of live ABs. He's going to take a lot, there are going to be a lot of guys taking at bats against Shohei before games to get him ready for that. It's very interesting, actually, in Targo, because you can't, like, that's your best hitter. You can't take your best hitter and say, hey, we're going to send you to AAA Oklahoma City for 2 weeks so you can get right and get some innings.
It's just crazy, though, because they can play with it so much when it comes to roster roulette.
Yeah.
They have the risk to take. And I was thinking about this the other day, actually. For all the accolades that Craig Counsell gets and, you know, Craig Tober and all this, not for nothing, man. Give Dave Roberts some credit. How he has gone about all of this. Like, we don't talk about his managerial chops enough when we talk about the system that is the Dodgers because the roster's so good. But he probably deserves more credit than we give him.
Yeah, especially with the amount of injuries that they've had over the last couple of years. Like, they had, at one point last year, like 20-some guys on the 60-day IL. Right? You're talking about impact type of players. And so, look, you give yourself a lot of leeway when you can spend at the level that they do and you can buy yourself out of some issues. But also, when other teams like the Padres get out to a hot start and the Giants get out to a hot start and you're the Dodgers and you're still, your record says you're still one of the best teams in baseball, but it's not pretty and you don't got guys hitting, you don't feel as confident as you did when the year started.
Sure, yeah, you're not winning with the sexy run differential. You're not winning.
It's winning ugly.
There's a TBD in the mix for starting pitcher and the probables.
A lot of TBD.
Yeah, yes, in April is a bad thing, but it is impressive how they've been able to live on this edge, even in the playoffs, have a bullpen day, and you still have to stop them.
It feels like it's going to be more of a norm, though, for bullpen days to be a thing that we think of with the playoffs, like regularly happening with more and more teams, because that formula is working for teams who get deep into the playoffs.
I've talked to a lot of executives around baseball about where bullpenning is going and the idea of the bullpen game in the postseason, because we saw a team win the World Series doing that. We saw the Tigers get to the postseason doing that. And everybody's, the general consensus is, oh, it's not sexy. We'd love not to do that. But teams keep doing it.
Because they want to win.
But also, when you don't have five guys that can make up your rotation at this point, and I think teams have kind of just punted on the idea of having five guys that can give you 175 innings.
They have.
You could say, well, we have one dude that can give us a .175. We have three other dudes that can give us 140, and then we can get 140 from a collection of, you know, five or six different dudes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about the White Sox injury situation where they had six pitchers have to get Tommy John within a month.
Welcome to pitching in 2025.
That's it. Like, I can't even indict them for that. It was just circumstance.
And that goes, that's the other part about depth, especially when it comes to starting pitching, is you can have the best plans for what your depth is going to be. And if you have two, three guys get Tommy John surgery, well, there goes your depth.
You're up against it at that point.
But right. It should be expected now. It should be something you build for.
Sure, but at the same time, if I have, like, in this case of the White Sox, six guys go down and have to get Tommy John surgery.
Six is wild, maybe two, and then Martin Perez is out for the year.
You got a backfill for six dudes? That's tough for any team.
Lucky for them, they've got all these young guys that I heard are going to be up at some time doing young guy things.
That's the question, Russ.
In the next couple of years, yeah.
Oh, not even this year?
Not after post-All-Star break this year?
Maybe your Tim Elko, Coastal Montgomery, but you... Wait on the pitchers. No. Just give them time.
No to Schultz.
I don't want the bullets being wasted.
Why rush?
We're bored. We want to see them.
And that's the problem.
We want to see better baseball.
We're baseball fans. We want to see them at the big league level.
The Cubs are going to the postseason.
Shout out to Edgar Carroll.
Yes. Kyle Teal.
I'm sorry about the brain fart with Javier Assad and Miguel Amaya.
Carroll's up. No, you scared me, but we... Russ translated. I was like, oh,
I was seeing him in my brain, the side of his head and the injury.
Because I was like, I haven't seen him in the dugout like
that. Guys, it's live radio.
No, I got you.
It's live radio brain.
It happens.
It definitely happens. Russ Dorsey, thank you so much for joining us in studio. I'm so glad you like the disclaimer.
No, I love it. I'm glad you guys have official drops. Rahimi and Harris.
I still call it the midday show.
I didn't appreciate the disrespect with that pause.
Well, I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking Score Midday Show and had to put the names in there.
You and me both.
Wow.
You and me both, Russ.
We have been saying that for a while. You're right.
You and me both. And you. That's what I always say. It's Layla Rahimi, it's Marshall Harris, and you.
Yeah.
You, the listener, or you, the in-studio guest, Russell Dorsey of National Yahoo and Apple TV fame. Oh, MLB Network, too.
There you go.
That's right. The man of many talents. Enjoy your hot girl walk today.
Oh, I will.
I will take one as well. Get the vitamin D.
I hope the hot girls enjoy his walk.
That too. That is the kind of praise we need to give to our people. That's it.
That's my guy.
Thank
Unfortunately, the praise was not shared by Colston Loveland. We were doing so well until we weren't. The hot sports take that lives on. Not this one. Next on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We have a giveaway to do. Callers 6, 7, and 8 to the Score contest line. 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Mully and Haw do their show live on Friday, May 16th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be a part of a studio audience, a live studio audience, as they get you set for the start of Crosstown with the special guests and plenty of Cubs Sox chatter. Plus, popcorn will be provided by Nuts on Clark. That is Friday, May 16th, and it is brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Russ Dorsey has decided to stay for a bonus segment. He came in for one segment, he stayed for another, but this topic, this very topic, has caused you to stay.
Glued in the seat.
All right, without further ado, I was on YouTube last night, as I tend to be. Cassie Carlson for Fox 32, holding it down with excellent player interviews, as she always does. Interview Colston Loveland, and she knew what to do. She understood the assignment.
Mm.
She asked him the question of the great debate of our generation. Michael Jordan or LeBron? Unfortunately, Colston Loveland did not pass the test.
Well, we actually just got to talk to Sharone Moore, and he was talking about you. And one of the things that stood out, he said, you are ultra competitive, whether it's in football, or he said talking about LeBron versus Jordan. So you're obviously in Chicago now, so we need to ask you, who's the GOAT, LeBron or Jordan?
That's tough.
You just got a crowd that's reaction.
I love Chicago, but I got to go with my guy, Bron.
I don't know if you might have just failed the first test, Colston. You're going to have to make that up to Chicago with some touchdowns or something.
Oh, no!
Cassie did the right thing.
Was he playing, saying like he didn't really believe that LeBron was the greatest of all time? Or was he playing in another?
Oh, no. I think Cassie was your indicator there.
Oh. Hmm.
Can I ask y'all something?
that's why you stuck around. That's why you're here.
Why do we still do that? Like, shout out to Cassie. But do we gotta do that to guys anymore? Like, I feel we've jumped the shark on the whole, oh, LeBron or Jordan.
I feel like it. As long as people are answering this way, it must go on.
No. Guys, why?
Well, I'm not trying to correct anyone's answer, but I don't want to answer the question until LeBron's done playing.
Do y'all honestly care at this point?
I don't care as much as other people care.
I'm shocked that people think it's a discussion.
I'm a Chicago guy through and through, born and raised. I don't care.
You're saying you don't care who's...
I don't care what people who people consider the GOAT. It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, I think it's Jordan, and it's not a discussion.
And you know what, Layla? That's awesome, but it's not going to change my day. People let it change their day. Like, people get upset.
Have you ever seen that barbershop
skit? Start throwing stuff.
Have you ever seen that barbershop skit when they're arguing about Jordan and LeBron, and they go back and forth, and people get, oh... And then there's like a house burning down. They're like, hey, guys, the building's on fire. You got to get out of here. But they're not going to be done until they're done debating this topic. And then at the end of the video, somebody's like, I got a real question, though. What about Kobe? And both those guys start laughing at the two guys have been arguing the whole time. I'm like, yo.
I think we once again, shout out to Cassie. We don't need to do that to do
this anymore. I don't disagree. I think it makes for fun fodder because that's what sports is. It's about hypotheticals. It's about what do you think, and I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. It's about course correction. I want to correct your opinion on something.
You know what's going to happen on your hot girl walk today?
Somebody's going to ask him?
You're going to walk outside, and you're going to pass people because we live in a city. And one of those people is going to be talking about this.
Maybe.
It's the NBA playoffs.
And I'm going to say, I don't care. But I will say... When I was in Europe and people would ask me where I'm from, I said, Chicago. And they'd be like, oh, Michael Jordan. And so, like, when you still have that impact that long after you played, it probably answers the question for you.
And but is there a city where people would be like, oh, LeBron? There's not.
Not unless you're wearing a LeBron jersey. Probably not.
That's but, like, the point. That's
but,
the point.
But also, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change your day. It shouldn't change your day.
Doesn't change your day. It changes plenty of people's days. Not mine. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. Same. I mean, let's face it.
I think it might be one of the worst attributes about our city is that people care about that topic so much.
It's Chicago. It's understandable, but also good point by 847. Kids getting drafted today never saw Jordan play.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what this sounds like? Sounds like your team.
You know
LeBron.
I'm Team Jordan, but it doesn't matter. That's why I don't even bring it up. Because you know what? My first Bulls team of memory? Like the Marcus Fizer Bulls.
Oh, no. Ooh.
Exactly.
Nasty work.
I was born in 1994. You think I really remember the last three-peat? No. I'm just doing it off vibes and being from here.
What are we doing? How do you feel about the Sox City Connects, by the way, with the Bulls jersey?
I just want people to start trying when it comes to these City Connects.
So, like, that was low-hanging fruit, right?
Yeah, very much so.
See, and for whatever reason, I'm like, oh, makes sense. I'm in.
It's low-hanging fruit, but it's low-hanging fruit that will make them money.
It seems like you know, the knockoffs that you get at, like, Target or
Walmart?
Where they just throw Chicago on some stuff?
That's what it feels like to you?
Yes.
Like, you know, we took some Chicago colors and put Chicago on it?
Do you know who used to have one that I felt like legit was that case? Just the Padres Road Navy. Before they went back to the brown and gold. Yeah. Just their white navy was so nondescript, it felt that way.
Glad you brought them up. Their City Connects are awesome. And then we got to look at these red Sox jerseys. It's just like,
nothing
dude.
Was going to top the Southside Old English.
Exists, so we can always lean back on that.
The
I guess.
Old English font is
can they? They're gonna
perfection.
They're going to wear both?
No. I'm just saying we can always lean back to the memories of the time that they pulled that out.
They have 4 years to rotate it. So they were in the fourth year. That's why they... Well, they actually, they were longer than that, I think. That's why they changed it. But yeah, they changed it.
Got to find new ways to make money.
Yeah, I guess.
Because, you know, they're short on money because there's going to be a work stoppage.
Let's try next time. How about that?
Okay. What was that about? Why'd you say that to Russ like that?
No, it's going to be a work stop. Like, these owners are trying to get all the money they can right now because they know they're not going to get any money in a couple of years.
Did you feel personally affected by him saying that to you?
No. Usually I do, but
yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, you know I wasn't. He knows. Trust me. He knows.
Just double checking.
He knows.
Russ Dorsey, thanks for staying for the extra segments.
Thank you, guys. Anytime you guys have extended time. Just let me know.
Russ, like, I'll come in.
I'll stay for a little 45 minutes.
You're always welcome.
I appreciate you enjoy hanging out with us.
Of course.
And we know we at least have one listener, and his name is Ricky Dorsey.
You guys have plenty of listeners. Don't worry.
But still, Russ, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, guys.
We transition with the afternoon show next on The Score.